The scripture lesson this morning comes from John 12, verses 12 through 19. The next day, a great crowd who had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand this at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that this had been written of him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was they had heard he had done this sign. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say, Amen. There was a little boy who got sick one Sunday, so he ended up staying home from church with his mother. His father comes home later on after the church service was over, and he was waving a palm branch. And his son asked, "Dad, where'd you get that palm branch from?" And his father explained, "Well, you see, Jesus came riding in on a donkey, and a parade formed, and people were waving palm branches, so we got palm branches to wave also." Today is Palm Sunday, the day that a parade breaks out when Jesus comes to town. If you and I were there, we would wave those palm branches so hard our shoulders would start hurting. If you and I were there, we would shout Hosanna, which means God saves, so loud that our throats would hurt. If you and I were there, it'd probably be one of the greatest days of our lives. If you and I were there. But since we aren't there, we get to read about it. And as exciting as it is, it's also bittersweet. It's bittersweet because we already know that it won't last. We know that many of those people who were there, maybe even most of the people that were there, waving palm branches at Jesus, come Friday, they'd be waving their fists at Jesus and saying, "Crucify him." What happened? Why did the people turn so quickly on Jesus? I want to share with you three reasons why I think. Here's the first one. They didn't understand his purpose. When people saw Jesus that day, they were reminded of the prophecy of the Messiah that's recorded in Zechariah 9:9. It says this, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See your king come to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey." So here's the crowd, and they're thinking, "Here he is. The Messiah's come to shake up the political world." See, at that time, Israel was occupied by Rome, and they thought that Jesus was going to be this historic warrior Messiah that would come and liberate the people. They thought that Jesus, the Messiah, would come as a prophet like Moses and march up into Egypt and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." They were cheering for Jesus, but the whole time they were also cheering for what they thought Jesus would do for them. A few days later, the crowd sees this same man, Jesus, again. But this time, Jesus looks completely different. This time, Jesus is beaten. Not just beaten down, but literally beaten. Beaten with fists, beaten with whips. And I can almost hear the crowd thinking out loud, "He can't even save himself. How can he save us?" See, the people didn't understand Jesus' purpose. They remembered the prophecies about the triumphant Messiah, but they forgot the prophecies about the suffering Messiah. Prophet Isaiah wrote these words 700 years before Jesus' birth. He writes, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and upon him was a chastisement that made us whole. By his stripes we are healed." See, Jesus didn't come just to free one group of people from military or political bondage. Jesus came to save the whole world from the bondage of sin and death. So why did the people turn from Jesus so quickly? I think the second reason is they knew about Jesus, but they didn't know him. Maybe they'd heard that he turned water into wine. Maybe they heard that he multiplied fish and bread. Maybe they heard that he healed the lame and the blind. They heard a lot of things that Jesus had given. But ultimately, Jesus didn't come to offer things. Jesus came to offer a relationship. I like this picture I found. It says, it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. Over and over again, Jesus talks about a relationship. A relationship as a shepherd to the sheep. A relationship as a branch to the vine. A relationship as a loving father to a prodigal child. And Jesus says, "Know my voice." Jesus says, "Abide in me." And Jesus says, "Welcome home." Well, back in Jesus' early earthly ministry, he could only have that close relationship with a limited number of people. But today, we get to have a personal knowledge of Jesus through the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit molds me to be more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit comforts me with the love of Jesus. Well, back in our times together, we grow in our relationships with one another by spending time together. And the same thing happens in our relationship with Jesus. We grow in our relationship through spiritual disciplines. These spiritual disciplines include prayer, reading the Bible, worship, fasting, and mission, which is also good works. Talking about good works, let me just continue what I've been doing for the last couple of Sundays, highlighting some of the good things that the people are doing that I hear about. I heard about Dick Robinson, who's 95, delivering Meals on Wheels. I heard about Courtney Sparks, a brand new mother who is also a nurse that's working on the front lines. Actually, Sharon Johnson, my wife, donated a big bottle of hand sanitizer for the Sparks family. We left it right on the doorstep. And then don't forget there's Jan McDougall. Jan McDougall adopted 4 more dogs just this week. Thank you all for the good works that you are doing. Well, I mentioned some of the different ways that we grow in our relationship with God through the spiritual disciplines. But get ready, because I'm going to tell you one of the best ways to grow in your relationship with Jesus. But hold on. You might not want to hear it. One of the best ways to grow in our knowledge of Jesus is to go through something. To have a problem or to have a struggle in life. See, here's what happens. We have a problem and then we yell out, "Why me, Lord?" And the answer is so that you might be still and know that I am God. We cry out, "Why me, Lord?" And the answer is so that you might know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We cry out, "Why me, Lord?" And the answer is so that we can know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. See, until you go through something, they're simply words. Don't be mad at God when you go through something. See it as a divine appointment. God cleared God's schedule, and guess what? God has cleared your schedule as well. just so that you could meet together and so that you could depend upon him. Friends, I don't know about you, but my calendar is clear. Let me share with you that actually today I was supposed to be at Disney World, right? I was supposed to be on vacation, but guess what? My schedule is cleared. And I'm sure that there's a lot of you who are like me. Your schedule is cleared. No work. That wedding is canceled. No hair appointment. Your schedule is cleared. Well, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your calendar out with me, and I want you to write something on that calendar. Just give me a second here. It says God's time. And you know what the funny thing is? It's always been God's time. We just haven't recognized it. We just haven't taken the time to really give God the time that he deserves. Let's look at the opportunity that we've been given to grow our relationship with Jesus by giving God his time. I remember one time I accidentally went to the grocery store on Thanksgiving Eve. Don't ever go to the grocery store on Thanksgiving Eve. Each register had 10 or more people in line. And I can remember I was just sweating. I was going nuts. I called my mother and I said, "Mom, what am I going to do? I'm about to lose my mind." My mother said to me, "Calm down. Remember you're the pastor. And tell someone about Jesus." So let me give you that same exact advice during this worldwide pandemic. Calm down. Remember you're a child of God. And tell someone about Jesus. Tell someone how God is good even when you don't deserve it. Tell someone how he brought you from a mighty long way. Tell someone what he's done for you lately. How did this crowd turn so quickly against Jesus? Well, here's the last thing I want to say today. I think that the price changed. The price changed. Have you ever looked at something in the store and you felt, "Wow, this is great. I want to get it." You take it up to buy it. And then all of a sudden at the register, they tell you that it hasn't been marked right and that it's going to cost you more. That's no fun. Well, the same thing happened to the people. It cost them absolutely nothing to shout in the street, "Hosanna." That was free. But 5 days later, when Jesus was on trial, guess what? It cost a whole lot more to speak up on Jesus' behalf. All of a sudden, there was a price to pay if you declared that you were for Jesus. The price was so costly that one of Jesus' own disciples, Peter, was asked by a little slave girl, "Aren't you with Jesus? Aren't you one of his followers?" And what did Peter say? "Nope, not me." She asked him again, "No, I don't know the man." She asked him a third time, and the cost is so great that Peter actually swears, "I swear to God, I don't know the man." Was costly to follow Jesus. And you know what's crazy? In reality, the cost never changed. From the very beginning, Jesus says this, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Many of us come to Jesus expecting only good. "Now that I've given my life to Jesus, everything will be smooth." But it doesn't work like that. One of the reasons it doesn't work like that is because some of the discomfort and some of the challenge that you might feel is God working on you to make you a new creation. There was a little girl who was walking in the garden. She notices a beautiful flower. She saw its bright colors of red and yellow and pink. She smells its sweet fragrance. She says, "Oh, it's so beautiful." She looks at the petals on top, and then she looks down the green stem, and then she looks down into the dirt. And in the dirt, there's manure and worms and bugs. And she says, "Ah, that's disgusting." She thinks this flower is too pretty to be sitting in such a dirty, nasty spot. So she pulls the flower up by its roots. She wipes away the dirt and the dust. She takes it into the kitchen and she runs water so that all of the dirt and the manure fall off. And then she lays it on the counter. Well, you know what happened, right? The flower wilts and very soon it dies. When the gardener saw what the little girl had done, the gardener asked her about it. And she said, "I'm sorry, but I just didn't like that dirt." The gardener replied, "I chose that spot. I mixed that soil. I poured that fertilizer because I knew that right there it could bloom." Church, God might not have planted you in the most attractive spot. There might be dirt. There might be manure around you. But I believe that God is using our problems, our trials, and our difficulties to make us bloom. There was a little boy who got sick on Palm Sunday, and so instead of going to church, he ended up staying at home with his mother. His father gets back from church, and he's waving a palm branch, and the little boy's like, "Daddy, where did you get that palm branch? What's that for?" His father explains, "You see, Jesus came in riding on a donkey, and there was a parade, and all of the people waved palm branches, so we got palm branches and waved them as well." And the little boy said, "Oh, shucks! I missed one Sunday, and that's the Sunday that Jesus comes to church." Church, Jesus is with us every single day. Some days are parade days when everything goes right. But I believe that the days that we grow aren't always so pretty. The days where we grow most are the days where we are drawn close to Jesus. And we too shout, "Hosanna, God save us." Amen.